This is an episode of Encore Conversations on Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. In December of 1950, Neal Cassady sent what became known as the Joan Anderson letter to Jack Kerouac. That letter inspired Kerouac's On the Road and set off a literary revolution. But the letter itself was considered lost for more than 60 years. In November of 2017, Neal Cassady's daughter, Kathy Cassady Sylvia, told us the rest of the story about the letter. We talked about her dad's part in the history of the Beat Generation and about her mom. And I wondered, did she, Kathy, growing up, know the story of when her mother met three guys named Alan, Jack, and Neal?
No, we didn't. It wasn't until later, as we were adults, and the story just came out gradually. And of course, we followed Mom as she was writing her books and just didn't know at the time.
So that same year, 1947, your mom decides the romantic relationship with your dad is over. She moves to Hollywood, and then she finds out that she's pregnant with you. And then what happens?
She'd moved to San Francisco waiting for a job in Hollywood and lived with her sister. And then when Dad took off, she was alone, and she had me. And when I was 2 months old, she thought it was over. And then when, of course, he came back, he always came back. I mean, she was totally in love with him. And so she took him back over and over and over. And when they decided they were going to be a family, and Dad got his divorce from his first wife, and they settled in San Francisco, Mom got the offer for Hollywood. It kills me now, but she said no. She declined. She had a family, and she was going to do the proper thing. She was raised in Michigan and Tennessee. Her dad was biochemist and the head of the biochemistry department at Vanderbilt University. Mm. She had a coming out party. She was a debutante. They lived in a former plantation mansion. And when she met Dad, she was working on her master's.
And what was she going to do in Hollywood?
She had a drama degree from Bennington College in Vermont. And she, being an artist, was going to work for a costume design company and design costumes in Hollywood. Anything to do with the theater, she loved. And that was her plan, which got derailed.
How was it for you and your sister and brother to grow up in the midst of these people? What do you remember as a youngster?
Jack was like a second dad. He was sensitive. He was loving and compassionate. He was slower than Dad. He spoke slowly. He was thoughtful. We just loved him. He was a good presence around us and just kind of a counterbalance to the frenzy that our dad was.
Did your home life seem different than the way kids at school described their families and their home lives?
Definitely. We didn't have friends come over, except the neighborhood kids. We had the only pool in the neighborhood for a while, and it was where all the kids would congregate and swim in the neighborhood. But none of our school friends ever came over, except my brother had some friends that would come over. But they all idolized Dad and his lifestyle. And Mom, not so much.
Let's get to this letter, Neal Cassady's letter, the Joan Anderson letter. Why was this letter missing for so long?
Well, it's a long, strange journey it took from Dad's typewriter to Emory University. In 1950, when he sent it to Jack, Jack was overwhelmed with the talent Dad showed in his writing. He had written his first novel. Jack wrote Town in the City in a conventional way. And he was working on the first draft of On the Road, and it was written in a conventional way as well. And then he got the letter from Dad.
Which was sort of a stream of consciousness, kind of a tear on his life from a hospital bedside with a woman he loved who had tried to commit suicide, to the billiards hall, to a crazy binge. It was the wildest of what the Beat Generation was all about.
It kind of encapsulated, you're right, encapsulated the whole era. And Here's one quote from Jack when one of his interviews in 1965 about the letter. He said, "I got the idea for the spontaneous style of On the Road from seeing how good old Neil Cassady wrote his letters to me, all first person, fast, mad, confessional, completely serious, all detailed with real names." And so he threw out his first draft of On the Road, and he became known for this spontaneous prose everybody thought he made up. And of course, he was influenced by other authors as well. And Jack and Alan praised Dad all the time for his writing, trying to encourage him to write. And Alan even said in one interview, he sent a letter to Dad about this letter saying, "I am impressed and astonished at the magnitude of the work that you've done in the Jones story, which seems to me an almost pure masterpiece." So they kind of went a little overboard, but Dad was encouraged. And so Jack thought this should be published. And so he sent it to Allen Ginsberg to find a publisher. And Allen gave it to a literary agent, Gerd Stern, who, thank goodness, is still alive and has been able to hear the story of how it was found again, because he was blamed for losing the letter over the side of his houseboat in Sausalito.
Right.
It's haunted him his whole life. So he's exonerated. So then it was gone. And we found out later that Gerd had sent it back to Ginsberg. Ginsberg sent it to the Golden Goose Press, hoping it would be published.
And it landed in a stack of papers.
And it was found in 2012 after the publishing house went out of business. And this lady's dad, who had a music store next door, saved the manuscripts.
Saved all the boxes of everything in the office.
They had found the letter and tried to auction it off. Three times. Third time is a charm.
There was quite a bit of, in addition to the mystery, shenanigans with the letter.
Yes. Usually when you receive a letter, it belongs to you. The recipient is the owner of the letter. So the Kerouac estate, of course, said this belongs to us. And we had to, initially, there was going to be an auction in 2012. We heard about it about 2 weeks before the auction. And so we stopped that auction, but we had to hire a litigator, and there was some disagreement as to who owned the letter and who would benefit from the auction. So our attorney's strategy was that a manuscript belongs to the author. And because Dad's letter was found in a publishing house archives, it was considered a manuscript, and Jack thought it should be published, and Alan did too. So the Cassady estate felt it belonged to the Cassadys as the author of the letter.
Very complicated situation, and I'll just fast forward. I'm not going to give it away. Go for it.
We are working together. We were just so happy to hear that Jim Sampas wants to work with us, and my sister and her husband were at a Lowell Celebrates Kerouac event in Massachusetts. Jim Sampas came up and gave my sister a big hug and said, "We're family. We need to work together." And it's been years and decades of contention, and we're so excited to be working together.
This letter is 19 pages long, I believe, some 40,000 words. There are excerpts of part of it that have been printed, some 13,000 words. You can find it. It reads like a workshopped, worked-on novel. It's amazing just in its raw form. But have you read the full 19 pages?
No, I haven't. I do have a copy. Honestly, I find it difficult to read my dad's writing. He describes situations and scenes and uses language that is hard for me to read. But I will read it. I need to know what all the fuss is about. But I'm just astonished and extremely proud of him. His lifelong goal was to be a writer, and that's why he wanted to meet Jack Kerouac. And when he was introduced to Jack, he was so excited, and they've encouraged him to write. They encouraged him every time he wrote something, as you see from the quotes, they were excited and helped him along. It's interesting and ironic that Dad met Jack because he wanted to be a writer. But really, who was teacher to whom? Because Jack took Dad's writing and used it in pretty much the rest of his writing. And Jack's books all are inspired by the way Dad wrote and spoke. And so it's interesting that Jack became famous because of this way of writing, and it was really inspired by my dad.
What is the plan with the letter? What's the conversation now between the two families?
We're working on a book of correspondence between Neal Cassady and Jack Kerouac, including all their letters, which they were prolific writers, so it'll be a tome. And this letter, the Joan Anderson letter, will be included in the book.
The letter was found in 2012. Your mom passed in 2013. Did she know the letter had been found?
No, none of the Cassadys were notified until December of 2014, just before the lady who found the letter was going to auction it off. She had the owner of the Beat Museum, Jerry Cimino, was sent down to L.A. to verify and confirm this was Neal Cassady's letter, because he didn't sign it. There were indications in the letter he referred to things that were just his life. But Jerry had to sign a non-disclosure statement, and nobody was told.
So the letter was put up for sale at Christie's in 2016. Initially, it didn't reach the minimum purchase price. And then later, it was offered again. Emory University bought it for $206,250, and it resides now at Emory. Your mom's books, I think, round out some of the pictures, fill in some of the blanks on what was going on.
Because she's passed, and we found extraordinary items and writings and the talents that my mom had we didn't even know about. We want her talents to be recognized, and we're working on a biography of my mother, and I'm writing a memoir as well. She was more than an appendage to these guys.
That was Kathy Cassady Sylvia, author Neal Cassady's daughter. She talked to us on Insight in November of 2017. You're listening to some of the best of Insight on CAP Radio.